Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Fear Not. Our world is quickly spiraling into chaos and lawlessness that has left many believers afraid. What is going to happen? Are we going to have to go through the tribulation now? As believers who followed the prophetic warnings of the Lord, we know more than most about what is coming in these end times. And what is coming is enough to make probably any normal person afraid, isn't it? We're going to talk today about some reasons why you should not be afraid. I was talking to the Lord this week about what I call the homestead that I'm praying for. Because a rent house is not where I want to be as darkness increases and the world continues spiraling down. Because I believe in the time when Christians are hated by everyone, they're going to turn us out into the streets. The Lord as much as told us that in at least one of the words. And I can keep doing kingdom work a little bit longer if I own my own home than if I'm in a rent house. So, and by homestead, I just mean a nice house on about 2 acres. That's a homestead to me. I'm a city girl, not a country girl. I don't need acreage. I am no farmer, y'all. And I just proved it by trying to grow vegetables, and I had to give the poor plants away to my best friend here to keep them alive. Because if they stayed with me any longer, they weren't going to make it. So I was asking the Lord about this, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly. And he said, "Do you know what you're getting into with a homestead, daughter?" And I said, "No, Lord. I've never owned a house before. My parents didn't own a house. My grandparents didn't own a house. I didn't know. I don't know. But I didn't know what I was getting into when I moved into this rent house either. And suddenly had to learn a lot of stuff that I had never needed to know about before. In the homestead, what I call the homestead, is we're talking about a house I've only asked for. It's not a house I have or even know where it is or anything like that. It's just I've asked the Lord for a house. Okay, so first of all, fear is one of the tormenting spirits. If you have your Bible, look at 1 John 4:18, and it will tell you that. It is very important going forward, especially, that we are not walking in fear, okay? For many reasons, but, I'm going to explain all that. Let me not get ahead of myself. I want you to start practicing now on smaller things, okay? Rebuking smaller fears. I want you to rebuke the fear and allow your faith that God placed in you to rise up and take over whatever the situation is, okay? I want you to, each time you feel afraid, I want you to remember how big your God really is. As I was writing this show, Nicole and I were talking about how fear blocks your faith. And the Lord showed me that just as there is a shield of faith in our armor, Satan has a wall of fear that operates just like a shield too. You know, he has a tacky imitation of everything that the Lord created. And we have to tear those walls of fear down. Fear and faith are enemies. They are opposites. You cannot operate in fear and in faith at the same time, and Satan knows that. So if you're trying to stand in faith and you need to develop your faith so you can get what you need, right? When there's no food and you need to be able to get food from the Lord, you need to say, "Lord, I need you to bring me some food." You've got to have the faith to receive that food in order to get it, okay? So faith and fear are opposites, which means they cancel each other out. If you ever took algebra, one of the things they teach you in basic algebra is that a plus one and a minus one, if you add them together, they cancel each other out and the result's zero. It's the same thing if you try to add faith in with fear. It cancels it out and you come up with just a big zero. Nicole made a very good point. You cannot just build your faith. We talk a lot about building our faith, but you cannot just build your faith. Fear is a demonic spirit that comes to torment you and tear up your faith, okay? You have to rebuke that spirit of fear and tear it down. Peter had great faith, great enough that he could step out of a boat on raging seas and attempt to walk on water. I can promise you that my faith has never been at that level. I don't think any of us have done that, have we? But when he got out on the waves, that spirit of fear that was attached to him started whispering in his ear that those waves were about to swallow him up. And that fear canceled out his great faith and he began sinking. Remember what Jesus said to him as he kept him from going under? It's in Matthew chapter 14. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Remember, Jesus, they had gone ahead of Jesus in the boat, and Jesus stayed there and he was praying, and then he walked out over the water to catch up with them. And they saw him afar off and they got really scared, because there was a legend in that time that if you saw the spirit of a dead fisherman walking, you know, coming to you on the water, it meant that your boat was going to sink. So they were like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. So that's why they freaked out about that. So Peter was saying, if it's you, tell me to come, you know, and I'll come to you. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Fear comes in when we see, when we look at our circumstances instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. Remember that scripture that's in, I believe, Isaiah, that says, his mind is stayed in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, or something close to that. That's probably not a perfect quote. And he immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The doubt came in right behind the fear, y'all. Fear came in and the doubt come right in while the door was still open. Doubt ran in there too. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Okay, so we not only need to build our faith, we need to rebuke the demonic spirit of fear away from us. Okay, so earlier this week, I was going back and forth between two show ideas, and I wasn't sure which one was from the Lord. And I think I was working on something else, and in my spirit, he spoke, rise up, my people, and sing. And I saw then that the Lord wants us to sing our way through this mess, y'all. Y'all have heard me teach many times that when you don't know what else to do, worship. I believe that worship is the secret place talked about in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. I had been singing earlier that morning to a song that a sweet sister had sent me and said was perfect for this time, and she is so right. And I posted a link to it under one of the words this week. Let me see which one. Under the word called Violence in Chaos, dated June 24th, 2020, there is a link to a song by Ryan Stevenson, which he shares on YouTube from his own channel. So I'm sure it's not a copyright violation to share that link with you to that. And it's called In the Eye of the Storm, and the words of it are perfect for this time. And it will strengthen your faith. If you will sing that, it will strengthen your faith. I've been singing it every day since. So thank you to the sweet sister who sent me that link. I can't always remember who sends me stuff, y'all, because I read so many emails every day, so I apologize for that. That song apparently came out about 5 years ago, but I don't listen to music very often unless I just have a worship playlist. I'll listen to that, except in worship. So I never heard it before. You know, there's a lot of places in the Bible that say, fear not, fear not, fear not. It doesn't say have big faith. It says fear not. Because the Lord knows the real problem is that the enemy attacks our faith. We have faith. He places some faith in us as a seed. And then we grow our faith by studying His Word and reading testimonies and hearing testimonies and things like that. We are people of faith by nature, by His nature. I tell y'all this all the time, but I'm going to tell you some more until I leave this earth. I'm going to keep telling you this. Find the scriptures that help you with whatever you're going through. The problem is fear. You need to find some scriptures about that, okay? So let me read you a few. Proverbs 1:33. Whoso hearkeneth to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's a real good one to quote if you're afraid of what's coming. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's two right there. In other words, I may have to walk through this right now, Satan, but you're not going to make me afraid of it, and you're not going to make me fear you because you're not scary. We are children of the King. He gave us dominion on this earth, y'all. We are the ones who have dominion down here. I'm going to read y'all a story. I think I've read this to you once before, but it's so good it's worth repeating for anyone who hadn't heard it. This is from a book, and there's a link to this on the print books tab on the JustPraiseHim.today site. The book is called Psalm 91, Real Life Stories of God's Shield of Protection and What This Psalm Means for You and Those You Love. Okay, and it's in the beginning of the book under the power of Psalm 91. When a Pennsylvania lieutenant was accidentally discovered by the enemy while attempting to carry out a very important overseas mission, he immediately placed himself in the hands of God. But all he could get out of his mouth was, "Lord, it's up to you now." Before he had a chance to defend himself, the enemy shot point blank, striking him in the chest and knocking him flat on his back. Thinking he was dead, his buddy grabbed the carbine out of his hands, paired it up with his own, and began blasting away with both guns. When his friend finished, not one enemy was left. Later, the lieutenant's sister in Pennsylvania got a letter relating this amazing story. The force of that bullet in the chest had only stunned her brother. Without thinking, he reached for the wound, but instead he felt his Bible in his pocket. Pulling it out, he found an ugly hole in the cover. The Bible he carried had shielded his heart. The bullet had ripped through Genesis, Exodus, and had kept going through book after book, stopping in the middle of the 91st Psalm, pointing like a finger at verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Can you say amen? The lieutenant exclaimed, "I did not know such a verse was in the Bible, but precious God, I thank you for it." He did not realize this protection psalm even existed until the Lord supernaturally revealed it to him. How do you like that story? Now see, if you will encourage yourself in the Lord by reading things like this particular book by Peggy Joyce Ruth, and I highly recommend this book, and it's out on Kindle too, but this is one that's really worth getting in print because you'll read it over and over and over. And when the grid goes down, if we're still here, which I hope we're not, but if the grid goes down, you've got a book that you can read that's really going to help you. Can I just say that? That will help you keep your faith up so Satan can't keep your fear up, okay? I have fought fear most of my life. Fear is a big side effect of abuse, okay? When you are abused by anyone at any stage of the game, at any age, fear comes in with it. Breakthrough came after I moved into this house that I live in right now. It had spiders in every room, in every closet, in everything. I didn't put any boxes in any closets in this house because there were so many spiders, and I knew all that would happen is they would infest all the boxes. I take that back. There was one that is just off the entryway that I used to put like some electronic stuff in. Sure enough, the spiders set up housekeeping in one of the boxes, and we had to get them out. Okay, spiders, I had to figure out how to get rid of, I don't like the insects, period. Butterflies, I like butterflies, that's it. That's the only insects I like, that's it. But I'm not fond of spiders for sure, so I had to figure out how to get rid of the spiders. Spiders do not respond to regular pesticides like other insects respond to because they don't groom themselves. Other bugs, if they walk through the pesticide, then they groom themselves, then they smear the pesticide all over them and it kills them. Spiders don't do that, they're nasty. They're just nasty. So, although I did get one very potent pesticide that you mix up from, that an exterminator told me to get, and it did a lot of good, but sticky traps, I have learned, are the best and fastest way to fix a spider problem. You'll love this story. So I have sticky traps out all over my house, and this huge brown recluse dies in one that I had in the kitchen of all places. And I didn't even know I still had spiders in the kitchen when I found this one. It was over a year ago. And I was complaining to the Lord about this spider in my kitchen. He said, "It's your fault." And I said, "How is it my fault?" And I'm whining to him. And I said, "How is it my fault?" And he said, "Because you commanded all of them to leave your property or die." So that one went in the trap and died. I'm serious, y'all. I cannot make this stuff up. He said that. Okay. So anyway, I spent about 18 months fighting a literal war against the spiders while living in this house with them, which I don't recommend. I wouldn't even hardly go into my sunroom. I have a real pretty little sunroom. It was so infested. I remember spiders being in it when they showed me the house. And I turned around and looked at the realtor and said, "How long has this place been empty?" She said, "Oh, just a couple of months." I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, that's why I didn't know a burglar had pushed one of the windows in back there. But after, so I'm living here, and before I get the spider problem solved, the spiders get in your clothes. And I got bit like twice. And I don't know if y'all know this or not, but a spider bite takes 6 to 8 weeks to heal up. It looks like a little volcano on your skin. They're nasty looking. And they get infected really easy. And it was really bad. I didn't go to the doctor for it because I was like, I am not going to let that spider cost me money. So I got tired of asking the Lord for help because he was just silent. And I was like, come on, help me out of here. And I didn't know what to do. Brown recluse spiders are nothing to play around with. They have venom that's like a rattlesnake. It is potent. It will kill you, literally. There was a doctor that I read a story about. It was either earlier this year or last year. And he got bit by a brown recluse and he decided to treat it himself. He died. He literally died from the, I'm serious, he died from it. Anyway, they're nothing to play around with. I read a story about a young girl. One fell off a ceiling onto her face during the night, and she swiped at it, and it bit her. If you scare them, if you catch them between something, they will always bite. It bit her, and because it has venom that's like a rattlesnake, it's that strong, it ate a hole in the girl's face. Y'all, and this was a pretty girl too. She was like 20 years old. It ate a big hole in her face. So this went on, and I did not like feeling fear at all. And you go to sleep at night, and you don't know if they're going to get bit. I mean, you just don't know. One day, I had just had enough. I had had enough. So I put on my big girl boots, and that was it. I mean, I saw another one somewhere in my living room or something like that. And you know, when you just get to the end of your rope and that's it, and you just know that's just it. And I said, "That is it." I was yelling. I was yelling at the spiders, I guess. I said, "That is it. I am taking dominion over y'all. This is my house. I pay rent in this house. God moved me into this house, and y'all are leaving. Y'all are not staying here and making me afraid, and you are not staying here and making me miserable. It is over. It ends now." And I got the most potent chemicals I could get. I began spraying. I don't even remember how often I was spraying, and I don't just spray. I saturate the baseboards. I mean, I soak it. I'm not playing. If I have to carry a sprayer around and do all that, and my house is pretty good size. This rent house, pretty, it's just spread out. I am going to spray it. And I sprayed outside, and I sprayed the garage, and I sprayed the sunroom. I sprayed everything. And I sprayed again like just days later to get these places that I had not, because I can only carry that thing for about an hour because it's heavy. And I started a war on the spiders. Let me tell you something. That was the day I got a breakthrough on the fear. That was the day that we beat it down. When I stood and I pushed back and I took dominion and I screamed, "No more. That is it. I am a child of God and you will not do this to me. You will not." When you will stand and you will push back, you will win this fight against fear. And then you can be all God called you to be, in whatever capacity he's called you to in this time. And after that, I had no more fear, and now I have no more spiders. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. No more spiders, y'all. If they come back, I'll put on my big girl boots again, and we will go whooping up on them again. Let me tell you something. You have to stand in your shoes of peace, and having done all, stand in order to fight. Somebody sent me, after I did that show about the armor, I didn't have any revelation on the shoes of peace, and some nice person sent me an email and said the shoes that the Roman soldiers used back then had what we would call cleats in them, so that when they were standing and fighting, their feet wouldn't slip. They could hold their ground. Our shoes of peace have cleats in them, y'all. They have spikes so we can plant our feet and go, that's it, no further. This is my ground and you're not taking it, Satan. And stand. And then fight. Draw your sword. Put your shield up and fight back. You best wield a sword when you are standing firmly. Fear and faith are opposite. You have to choose which side you are on. Fear's side or faith. Are you on Satan's side? Because if you're going to believe him with all the stuff that he's saying to you to scare you, you're on his side. Did you know that? That does not please God. He's very, very displeased with that. If you are going to believe the promises of God, then you're on his side. You have to decide which side you're going to stand on. And I'll give you a clue. You cannot fight if you're afraid, because the devil will terrify you into backing down every time. To fear is to reverence Satan's power to make his promises come true. That is what fear really is. It is reverencing him. You are only supposed to reverence Almighty God. You are only supposed to worship him. Okay? If you reverence Satan's power and you believe in Satan's power, you're really worshiping him. Did you know that? Don't you dare start listening to Satan's whispers this late in the game. We're almost home, y'all. God did not make a mistake when he chose you for this time. You are chosen to live in this time. He handpicked you. He didn't make any mistake when he did that. He knew what he was doing. Satan is nothing but a big mouth bully. Understand that if you get into fear now, you will just get more and more in fear. But you will see a lot of suicides as we go further and further into the end times, y'all. So brace yourself. You're going to see a lot of suicide because so many people don't know Jesus and they don't know what to do. And so it's going to freak them out. Satan's going to scare them to death. He's going to be talking to them and he's going to scare them to death and they're going to take their own life, okay? The other thing that's going to happen to people who get into fear and stay in fear is they will eventually cave in and take the mark of the beast out of fear. God handpicked us to live in this time. He knew what he was doing when he chose us. Let's make him proud of us. When we go home, y'all, and stand at judgment, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. That is what I want to hear more than anything. I'm going to close with this story. This is said to have happened in 1968. A whole village in South Vietnam experienced a miracle of divine intervention and protection. Under cover of darkness, a Viet Cong soldier, one of a battalion of over 1,000 in the area, came to the village and warned, "Tomorrow is your day. So if you need to get out of this village, get out now." It turned out that most of this village were Christians. They met together and decided they were greatly outnumbered, but that indeed Christ was their defender. The whole village agreed that they would turn to Jesus in prayer. Fervently they sang and prayed. Then at dusk, they could see the enemy moving toward the edge of the village. The Lord filled their hearts with peace, and they just continued to sing. Shots began to ring out, but as soon as they started singing, they stopped. The shots stopped. All night, the villagers prayed. Then in the morning, it was obvious that the enemy had scattered. Several days later, some of the Viet Cong were captured by advancing forces and brought to the village as prisoners. When asked what had happened, they replied, "As we began to shoot, the village was surrounded by beings dressed in shining white. As we shot at them, they just increased in brightness and advanced towards us. They wouldn't fall, so we ran and didn't stop. God caused them to be blown off like smoke and to melt like wax in the fire. He was the greatest weapon on that day. God is no respecter of persons, y'all. If he'll do it for one, if he'll do it for them in 1968, he'll do it for us. And he said, arise, my people, and sing. Arise and sing. He wants us to worship and pray our way through this. That is what he wants. I am positive of it. I have been working on that every day, and I cannot tell you the joy that I'm walking in right now. I just can't even tell you. And y'all, I've told you, I've had anxiety over everything that's going on too. I mean, we're human, okay? I'm an older woman. I'm 60 years old. You know, of course I'm going to have anxiety about this. But then I just keep remembering, but I serve a big God. Y'all know how big he is. We don't even know how big he is. He made this whole earth. He made all this. He made it. He sees what everybody's doing. He sees what the enemy's doing. I have been reposting on the weekends some of the older words that I believe we are seeing come to pass in this time, and some of the older words that tell us some things about what's coming that I think are very important. It's been helpful to me to reread them. I don't often get time to go back and read the old words. There's, I think, over 1,400 words in all on the site now. So I think that those will be enlightening as well. But if he's telling us, rise up, my people, and sing, then we need to rise up and sing. And we know that he wants us to pray. And I find that the more I pray and just sit quietly before him, the more he speaks to me. He's spoken to me, I don't even know how many times in the last week, just over different things. Things that I had asked him about, you know, stuff like that. Just short things that he spoke, but they were important to me. And he had me promise some things over the, you know, when I asked him for the homestead, the house. He had me covenant with him. He's only ever done that one other time, and that was when I accepted the call to this ministry. He had me take communion to seal it. And I remember shaking so violently because I knew how serious that was. And he had me do that again. So, if there is anything you desire God to do for you in this time, you should ask him. You should go to him and ask him. But don't just ask him for stuff and run off. Pray. Talk to him. Talk to him. Pour your heart out to him. If you have to commute to a job, pray all the way there and pray all the way home. I used to do that. That was how I got into this walk with him. It's at such a deep level that where I could hear him because I spent so many hours every day with him, every minute that I could get. You know, people would leave the office at my job and I would turn on Christian music and listen to sermons, you know, not music, mostly sermons, because I wanted the word so bad. I just wanted to fill my spirit. And when you do that, you know, God, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. He will fill you. If you will seek it, he will fill you. And he will speak to you. You just have to listen for him. Anyway, I really want y'all to fight the fear this week, okay? You have to get away from the fear so that you're walking in faith. You have to do that, and you need to do it now. Don't let it get any worse. If you're one of the people that's in fear, get away from it now. Start fighting it. You need to take a stand and push back. And push back hard. And you just declare that it's not. Not today, Satan. Not today. Not tomorrow either, by the way. I'll put a link to that Psalm 91 book, The Book of Stories. Y'all should get that because it'll build your faith so much. I'll put a link to the Kindle version and a link to the print version so you can find them easily in the description to this program. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today.
Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses, without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions. Have unforeseen events left you suddenly in lack? Has your life taken a turn into the unknown? Does it feel as if all you know and relied upon is being stripped away? I have good news for you. Times like these of great uncertainty and change are often ordained wilderness seasons in disguise. Wilderness seasons are the Lord's way of refining us to take us higher. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. In the heat of the wilderness, God refines our faith in Him like never before. You walk into them like Gideon and walk out like David, a mighty warrior. Learn how to partner with God in your wilderness seasons so you can come out faster. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion will change how you look at your wilderness seasons forever. Get The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com, available in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. Get a copy of the new audiobook version free by signing up for a free 30-day trial of Audible at audible.com and choosing it as your first book.